You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound, folks. It's the sound of the start of the Roto Experts in the Morning on this Sunday, April 9th on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining George Kurtz. He'll be with us in a moment. Interesting day yesterday in MLB, and we'll take you around the horn and talk about all the games from yesterday and talk about the games today. For those of you that like the entire world of sports, we'll get into a little bit of Masters later. It's Masters Sunday, always a fun time of year, kind of a rite of passage of as we move into spring. So always a fun day to spend sitting down in front of the TV if you're into it, even those people who are the most casual of golf fans tend to tune in for a little bit of the last 18 holes. And we've got an exciting race with Dustin Rose, Sergio Garcia, and Jordan Spieth on the leaderboard. So we'll get into that a little bit later. After us today, Tony Cincotta and Cha-Cha will get together for Fantasy Bagels and Baseball. The producers will be on after them a little bit later today. That is our very own Pete Considori and Chris Bavona. So we'll talk about, what they got on tap a little bit later today. But first, George, I don't want to bury the lead. Just come right out with it. If you picked Trey Turner and Gary Sanchez in the last couple of weeks, you're not too happy with yesterday's results.
No, a little rough day yesterday, right? Turner got the lower body injury there. They had taken it a couple of days, right? That's the last I heard before I went to bed last night. Sweet couple of days. You know, bad day for Washington as it was yesterday. I guess you're right about Jeremy Guthrie maybe going to get beat up yesterday. That was kind of a joke. Sanchez hurt his bicep on a swing. I think that one could be more than 10 days. Now, it doesn't look like it's a tear, but he's not going to see a doc until Monday or Tuesday, so we're not going to know for sure until probably midweek. But he's already on the DL, not a good sign there either. And I have a funny feeling we've probably seen the last of him until at least May.
Yeah, so bad times for the Yankees. They blow another lead, bullpen, and as George said, on a swing yesterday, he strains his bicep. So we don't really have any results, but it's obviously serious enough that the Yankees say, well, he's not playing for a while. Obviously the bullpen blowing a game for the second day in a row, you figure that's the strength of the Yankees. It didn't work out. Yesterday, Kevin Gausman struggled a little bit through 4 2/3. Tanaka was fairly strong through 5. But ultimately, Yankees don't get the win. And Sanchez is really going to be the big news.
Absolutely. We're talking about a top 3 catcher that's gone for minimum 2 weeks. And like I said, bicep strain, it looked worse than that. Sanchez admitted that after he strained it, he could not swing the bat again. So that's not a good sign, not a good sign at all. You're hoping it's not a tear. I think it's going to keep him out, a bicep stay. It's going to keep him out months. We're hoping weeks rather than months. Like I said, best case scenario for me will probably be around May 1st. 10 days alone puts him at April 19th. And even the Yankees, Joe Girardi admitted, he doesn't see 10 days happening. So I think that's a really wishful thinking there. Austin Romine will take over for Sanchez in his absence. Not someone you're dying to get fantasy-wise, but hey, if you're in an AL-only league, obviously you're after him. If you're in a two-catcher league, 15 teams, you're probably after him as well. Romine, not going to add you much with the power. He could, sustain your average, what you're hoping for. What I mean is maybe you can bat 270, not hurt you there. But even that's probably asking a lot.
Yeah. Take you through a little bit more of that game. So Tanaka, 5 innings, 3 runs, 4 walks, 6 hits. So, he was okay through 5. At times he looked good, but he got into some jams, ended up getting out of them, so he didn't get beat up too badly. But still, the 3 earned runs in 5, not great. Gausman got hit a little bit in 4 2/3, 8 hits, gives up the 3 walks as well. So really not strong outings by either guy. I thought Tanaka looked a little bit – I watched some of that game, so I thought Tanaka looked sharp at times. Again, beginning of the season, I'm not hitting the panic button, but I think by next outing you want something stronger if you selected Tanaka where you selected him or paid what you paid for him. Dellin Betances gets the blown save here, George. 2/3 of an inning, 2 hits, gives up the 1 run, and they go on from there. The Orioles win. Trumbo is really the kind of the star of the show, I suppose. He had a couple of RBIs, despite the 1 hit, a couple of RBIs. And he moves on with his day. Manny Machado got a stolen base, which beats his total from last year. So we're happy about that, I suppose. Any ancillary stolen bases you'll take from a player like that. But overall, that's really the deal. Mark Trumbo with a little bit, and Manny Machado with a couple of stats there for you.
Yeah, all around. I mean, Tanaka was wild. Hit two batters, ended up costing him. You know, that's certainly not good there. You did mention the Orioles were running yesterday. I think they stole three bases as a team. Which means what? This might tell you what their game plan was versus Tanaka. Run. You know, maybe they don't feel like he holds up people on base well. Batanzas blew this. Well, it wasn't a save. I guess he blew the hold technically there. And you imagine the second day in a row, the Yankee bullpen didn't come through for the team. So that's a concern because that's supposed to be the strength of the starting pitching staff. And if the bullpen's going to be bad too, the Yankees are in for a dismal season.
Couldn't agree more. So they're 1-4 to start the season. I don't think it's a team that can afford to get off to a slow start. I would currently classify this as a slow start, 1-4. It doesn't mean they can't turn things around in April, but they just lost their best young player on the entire team. So we will see how long Gary Sanchez is out. As George said, reading the tea leaves early on, I don't want to be the guy sounding the alarm, but if you put a guy on the DL without even him really being examined yet, obviously you feel it's pretty serious. So I would think you have to be looking at a minimum of a couple of weeks, and you're probably looking towards the end of April, early May. And hopefully it's nothing serious that requires any type of procedure. So, and if that's the case, you know, what would you say, all-star break at best?
Yeah, he needs surgery, and you're probably looking at half the season gone here. As far as putting him on the DL, that's something you don't want to read too much into because it's a catcher.
Yeah.
Yankees only carry one or two on their roster. So if one's down, you have no choice. You don't have a choice. He's going to be down for, even though 4 or 5 days, you're sort of putting him on the DL.
True.
Yeah, it's a position where you don't have an option there. So in this case, it doesn't matter. He was going to go a DL either way. He's not coming back in 10 days. So, sure. But this is, you know, catcher, 10-day DL, you're probably hedging there anyway. So I wouldn't worry about read into that too much. But in this case, either way, he was on a DL. It's crushed. It's a blow. It's going to hurt the whole Yankees. It's going to hurt the Yankee roster as a team. Because he is their best, he's their best young hitter. He's probably their best hitter, period, at this point. You know, they're going to lose him. They're going to lose RBI opportunities for the other players. Teams will pitch to them differently. And if you're fantasy-wise, you probably just lost your 6th, 7th-round pick. You know, hey, this is why I don't take catches early.
Yeah. Yeah, they get beat up. And this is not really necessarily related to catching, but an important thing on the baseball side, too, George, it is his throwing arm.
Yes, and that'll be a concern as well. You know, it's funny. You know, his arm hasn't been all that great since spring training, which is a little strange here.
Yeah. It's highly regarded, and yet he hasn't really flashed.
It makes you wonder if he strained it at some point in the spring training and now just finally ended it. You know, because he's been skipping throws, not really having that gun he usually has here. So I wonder if this wasn't where he first injured it yesterday, but if he strained it at some point either during the week or at the end of spring training, and yesterday was the end of it.
Right, so turning the page over to the Nats game that we mentioned earlier. So Trey Turner goes out. He gets on base in the first, steals second, I think, and advances to third, and ends up coming out. He was out of the game by the first inning. He was out of the game by the bottom of the first. He never even took the field. He was out of the game. Yeah, he never even took the field in the bottom of the first. So he has the hit, a stolen base, and then he's gone. But really, the big issue here is that he's got a hamstring injury. As you said, it's just a couple of days, maybe no panic button yet. Maybe they're being cautious with him, but you can't be too happy about the Washington leadoff hitter going down.
No, now you're talking your first or second round pick just went down.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, okay, just a couple of days. Yeah, listen, in baseball term, no big deal. Once again, I think the bigger question is going to be this. If you're in a weekly lineup league, what are you doing? I mean, a couple of days could be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So he's going to play Wednesday. You're not going to know that for sure tomorrow at by 1 o'clock. That's when the lineup's going to set tomorrow. I think there's 1 o'clock games tomorrow. So what are you going to do? You know, I don't take chances, Mike. You know, I'm sitting him. What if that couple of days turns into, he doesn't come back to Friday now?
Or 10-day DL, just to keep it safe, because April.
It's April. They're playing well. He's the young superstar. They don't want to chance it, all this other stuff. You know, so I can see this going the wrong way for fantasy owners. I don't own him in any league, so I don't have to worry about this decision. I didn't draft him early. But if I did, and it's a weekly lineup league, I'm sitting him. You know, assuming I have somebody else on my roster who's decent. If it's a deep league and I have some bum, you know, somebody who's not going to do me anything, that's different. Then maybe I do put Trey Turner in my league. But if I have anybody who's can hit at all, I'm going to put that player in. I don't want to risk a zero all week.
Yeah, so the rest of this game, the tail of the game was really settled in the first inning. The Phillies scored a team record, a historical team record, by scoring 12 runs in the first inning. We joked a little bit about Jeremy Guthrie yesterday, 38 years old. George said, raise your hand if you knew Jeremy Guthrie made the Nats. And it surprised me. But the result was, while the number is surprising, I don't think I expected too much out of Jeremy Guthrie. He goes two-thirds of an inning, gives up 6 hits, 10 runs, 4 walks, and he's sporting 135 ERA in what may very well be his last start for the Nats. There's been no transactions yet, but if he got DFA'd today, it wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me either, or set down to the minors, whatever it might be. 135 ERA, that's not good, Mike?
It's a tough one. At least he got two outs. At least he got a couple of outs. It's not the infinitum ERA that we sometimes see early in the season.
You know, I didn't watch the game live. I'm not going to tell you. I saw the highlights. You know, it's funny. He looked like he was throwing the ball okay. Yeah, you know, these hits, some of them weren't. I'm gonna be the bright
side
here.
You're being so nice. He gave up 4 walks and 6 hits in 2/3 of an inning. I mean, 10 runs is a lot, but 10 runs is a lot.
It's a lot for 3 starts.
Yeah.
He took care of that all in once. I think at the very least, the Nationals are going to take him out of the rotation.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to make a start for this team again. I don't think he can at this point. They'll have some other options here. I think Matt Dick said that yesterday. He probably was just keeping a spot warm for A.J. Cole. The problem is Cole's not ready. If he wasn't ready a week ago, he's not ready now.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen. They'll throw somebody else in there.
Yeah. Hernandez, 2-for-4, 3 runs scored. Howie Kendrick, 3-for-5, 2 runs scored with 4 RBIs. Howie Kendrick, a huge day yesterday. Hopefully you stacked Phillies in DFS. Herrera, 1-for-4 with 2 runs scored and an RBI. Mikel Franco, 1-for-4 with a run scored and 2 RBIs. Saunders, 3-for-5, 3 runs scored, 2 RBIs. Joseph, 2-for-4, a run scored, 3 RBIs. And Cameron Rupp, 1-for-4, 2 runs scored, and an RBI. So down the line, those are the first basically 7 hitters on the team. They did all right yesterday. Even Galvis pitched in with an RBI. So right down the line, extra base hits from Howie Kendrick, Hernandez, Blanco, who came in as a pinch hitter scenario late in the game. He hits a homer. Pretty big day all around for the Phils. And Aaron Nola goes 6 innings, 7 hits, 2 walks, 3 runs scored. Not the best looking line, but he had 7 Ks. So he gets you a W and he gets you some strikeouts and with a few innings to add to it, George.
Well, you know, Mike, I don't know about you, but I could pitch pretty well with a 9-12 run lead. I'd be okay.
Yeah, you feel good coming out of that in the top of the second when you're up 12-0. It was 13-0 by top 3 before they finally gave up a run. So Nola's okay. Okay start. I guess technically that qualifies for a quality start, although you prefer, as do I, the Nolan Ryan quality start, right?
I think a quality start, if you want to say 6 innings, I don't know if even 6 innings is a quality start, but I think it's 2 runs. I'd like 7 innings, 3 runs. You know, save the bullpen. Bullpen only goes 2 innings there. That's what I would prefer. 7-3, 6-2 is actually a better start. So I can go either one of those, and I'd be happy.
Yeah. So he comes up just shy on that, but nonetheless, Phillies give it to the Nats on the chin yesterday, 17-3. We'll keep talking about games going around the horn with MLB news and notes and all the scores from yesterday. Get into a little bit of NFL later today. Maybe try to get Tony Cicada in here to talk a little bit about the Masters in the last segment. But it's George and I for the next 3 hours on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's our disco segment. Like it. It's getting me fired up. 7:17 a.m. on this April 9th. This is sort of like a Saturday Night Fever, Xanadu kind of situation for those of you that are old like me. But George, I know you're fired up. I know you like that. So hopefully you're
attitude. Yeah, yay.
Hopefully you're turning around a little bit. To key everybody in, as if you can't tell, George's been a little under the weather. He's been struggling with it. He's trying to push through, and I give him a lot of credit for doing it. I've been a little under the weather as well, but it's not to the extent that George is. So he's been sporting a cough cold for like 2 weeks now. So
throat.
Is there any light at the end of the tunnel here? Have you improved even markedly?
Not really. I mean, it sounds worse than it actually is, but the doctors don't know what's going on. Yeah, they know what it's not. Yeah, it's not strep, not mono. You know, it looks like it's just a bad viral, but this is day 17. And when I say throat, I mean it's one of those throats where it hurts to swallow. Every time I swallow, it's painful. I am living on Advil right now.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. I've been there the last few days myself. But I think I turned the corner a little bit, slept quite a bit after the show yesterday, just like passed out and for 4 hours, and I think I slept through a lot of the fever that I was sporting. But in any event, back to baseball. Tigers play the Sox yesterday. Sox lineup shut down yesterday, basically. 4-1 win for the Tigers. They moved to 3-1 on the season. By the way, the only thing I neglected to mention, the Orioles are the lone undefeated team in Major League Baseball. So on pace to go 162-0. I didn't want to bury that lead. In any event.
Twins lost?
Did.
My Twins?
Did. So Jordan Zimmermann. Threw for the Tigers yesterday. 6 innings, 1 run. There's your quality start, George. 4 hits, 3 strikeouts. So Jordan Zimmermann off to a good start. Eddie Rodriguez, I think Matt Modica yesterday even mentioned that he was a little worried about the lineup that he was going up against. And he goes 5 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs, 3 walks. Gave up a couple of bombs. So not really a sharp outing for Eddie Rodriguez. And the Tigers get the win.
Yeah, let's take Jordan Zimmermann first here. Remember, the Red Sox, you think we're sick. I mean, Mookie Betts, Hanley Ramirez, Bogarts, still dealing with different ailments of their own. It looks like Betts and Hanley Ramirez are dealing with some kind of flu. Mitch Moreland was as well. I think they said Mitch Moreland has lost 12 pounds.
Whoa.
With this flu. This is the flu from hell. So certainly not a good thing. That's what I heard. I mean, that's not confirmed. What was reported, he's lost 12 pounds. So that's certainly a concern there. Like I said, no Bogarts. He's on bereavement leave.
Yeah,
so
bereavement list, yes.
Right, he's probably back, you would think, maybe early this week. We'll discuss this more on Old School Fantasy tomorrow.
It's usually a three-day situation, so that would leave it to tomorrow or Tuesday, yeah.
He can return earlier, but generally it's 3 days. I think Mookie Betts, I said, was traveling to the team sort of during the game, I think, where he might be able to pinch hit. He did not pinch it, but the fact that he could would lead you to believe that he could play today. You know, that's your second overall pick who hasn't played since opening day. So that's concerning. It's another player we've lost there. And as I said, Hanley Ramirez looks like he's still pretty sick. I don't think he's playing today at all. I don't even think he's with the team. So once again, your best case scenario is early this week for him as well. But yeah, the flu is ravaging the Red Sox clubhouse.
I mean, it just, those kinds of situations, I mean, they'll put a team on lockdown, you know, like it's impossible to keep it from running through the team. These guys are in close contact all the time. So you're much better off quarantining somebody until they're not contagious anymore. And the tough part for Betts is that even if he's not sick anymore, you know, he's going to be weak for a couple of extra days. Trying to get stamina back and all that kind of stuff, it could take a little bit longer than you would like. But if he's good to play, and they say he's good to play, then you got to figure he'll be all right. He'll just be a little bit more tired than he otherwise would be.
I would agree on all points there. You don't know when it's going to take him to be 100% again, to get the fluids in the body. That could easily take a couple of days. I think for Betts owners, and I think one in a couple of leagues, just want to see him get back. It's been a trying week. Between these injuries, you and I already discussed Sanchez, Turner, Betts has been out, Hanley Ramirez, a couple other players. We've had a lot of rainouts, so it's been, like I said, it's been somewhat annoying first week of baseball.
To Moreland's credit, he played yesterday, 2-for-4 with a run scored. So he may have lost some weight, but he's back in the lineup. Hopefully we'll see Betts back soon.
He may be patient zero.
Yeah, he might have been. But the rest of the lineup, didn't do much. Pedroia and Benintendi both pick up a hit, as well as Hernandez, but everybody else blanked on the day. Bradley, Young, Holt, all zeros across the board, picking up some strikeouts. That's about it. On the Tigers side, only picked up 5 hits on the day, but they do get the win. So Ian Kinsler, 1-for-4 with an RBI. McCann, 1-for-2 with an RBI and a run scored. And then Jones, 1-for-2 with a run scored. So really not a ton going on. Iglesias, 2-for... Jose Iglesias, 2-for-3 for 2 runs scored and 2 RBIs.
He hit a bomb.
And he did hit a bomb off of Eddie Rodriguez, as did McCann off of Eddie Rodriguez in the 5th inning. So beyond that.
If you started Jose Iglesias yesterday, you're a better man than I am.
Yeah. Shane Green throws an inning with a couple of strikeouts. Kyle Ryan throws an inning with without giving up a run, and the save goes to Justin Wilson. As far as you're concerned with this Tigers closer job, George, is Justin Wilson the guy to have long term, or are you just worried about his place in the bullpen over the course of time this season?
But you want K-Rod. K-Rod's the guy to have long term. Well, Wilson's not even in second place.
But I'm just curious because Matt was saying yesterday, right, so this is kind of what I'm driving at. Matt was saying yesterday you got to be concerned about Rodriguez. He doesn't throw yesterday because he had thrown the previous couple of days, but Matt was just sort of concerned about Rodriguez, K-Rod, hanging on to that job long term. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, we've been saying this about K-Rod for the past couple of years. Doesn't throw the velocity he used to throw with. He's more of a touchy-feel guy. The wind-up throws people off with how hard he throws. But that being said, they're not going to go away. He hasn't blown a save yet.
Right.
All right, so I think if he was going to slow your roll here as far as him going to lose the job here, he's got to blow a couple of saves there. He's a veteran. I don't think Oswald's going away from him anytime soon, so I'm not all that concerned about here. Let's say, though, the worst thing does happen, that he does lose the job. I mean, Rondon at one point was supposed to be the closer in waiting. That really hasn't happened. Justin Wilson's their left-handed reliever. I don't see him ever getting the job unless things just go completely wrong.
Right.
Yeah, because I think they're going to want to keep him in that left-handed setup role there to get the a tough left-hander out late in games there. I mean, it'll still be a mess if he lost the Giants. Well, I think he'll get plenty of rope to hang himself with. I'm not really all that worried about K-Rod as far as job security unless he implodes.
Got it. Okay, so moving on to the next game. White Sox take out the Twins 6-2 with Twins' first loss of the year. Sox move to 2-2. Twins drop to 4-1. Pitching matchup. Miguel Gonzalez threw yesterday for the White Sox. He goes 6 innings, gives up 7 hits and a couple of walks, but only 2 runs scored, 6 strikeouts. Pretty solid outing right there. On the other side of the ledger, not so good. Adalberto Mejia goes 1 2/3, gives up a couple of runs, a couple of walks, and he hands the ball over. So he did not get out of the second inning, George.
Yeah, White Sox-Twins. Marquee matchup yesterday because, the Twins are playing.
They were undefeated.
Undefeated. I'm telling you, man, Twins and Reds. That's what's happening this year, Twins and Reds. Listen, in all honesty, this is a lot of not a lot to see here kind of game.
Yeah.
One of those times, Buxton was moved down to 7th of a lineup, something we had discussed yesterday to get him out of a 3-hole. Maybe, excuse me, maybe relax him a little bit at the plate, if you want to go with that kind of strategy there. It certainly couldn't hurt. He was providing a lot of free air conditioning. He wasn't hitting the, he was swinging and missing a lot, is what I'm trying to say.
He's 2-for-22.
Contact, yeah. And a lot of that is strikeouts. Not like he's hit rockets and getting unlucky here. He did get a hit, a double, so hey, good for him there. Maybe he's breaking out of it somewhat.
Struck out 2 more times, for the record.
Batting a robust 0.91. I would expect him to stay at the bottom of the lineup until he proves he can hit on a more consistent basis. So that's where you are with Byron Buxton. Gonzalez, good for him. Good start there. Not that I'm rushing out to grab him.
Yeah, so he leads, by the way, Byron Buxton, obviously early returns, but he leads the league in strikeouts with 13 in those 23 plate appearances. 2-for-22, 1 extra base hit, 1 walk, and just a whole lot of strikeouts. So for the rest of the lineup yesterday for the Twins, Dozier goes 2-for-5. Kepler 1-for-4. Sano 0-for-3. 3 Ks. You love the sombrero there. Joe Mauri with a hit. Polanco with a hit and a run scored. Castro with a hit and a run scored and down the line. On the White Sox, star of the show hitting is Avisail Garcia. Avisail Garcia, 3-for-4, 2 runs scored with 3 RBIs. So he hits a homer in the 6th inning off Haley. The only other homer of the day, Giovanni Soto, picks up a home run yesterday off of Haley. So Haley comes in his outing, 3 2/3. He goes long relief there, obviously, after Mejia couldn't get it done, couldn't get out of the second inning. Justin Haley gets touched up with those 2 homers, 3 runs scored, 4 hits in 3 2/3 innings. So, as you said, George, not too much to see, but Avisail Garcia with a big day. You have thoughts on him? It's not a guy we talked about too much over the course of the time. I mean, obviously the lead story on the White Sox this year is when are they going to blow everything up? But Avisail Garcia is a guy I didn't really talk about too much.
Yeah, he was a guy at one point a couple of years back. We expected many big things is usually to a larger term, maybe because of the solid numbers here. 20, you know, he's playing in a bandbox, 25 plus home runs, you know, maybe 80-90 RBI, someone, maybe a nice solid outfield of 3. Yeah, we expected that. It didn't really happen. He certainly disappointed not only the White Sox, but his fantasy owners as well. Can he get back to that point? I mean, I think we're asking a lot. You mentioned it. The White Sox, the only thing we care about is when are they going to blow things up and start trading, you know, the Quintanas, Frazier's, Robertson's, maybe even Abreu. We've heard that he could be on the move as well. So that's what we're waiting for there. But someone's got to hit for that team. You know, so I think Garcia is somewhat interesting. But, you know, he's only hit, Mike, 39 home runs the past 4 seasons combined. Think about that.
He's only 25. He'll be 26, actually, in June. But he's still a fairly young player, but to your point, he 120 games last year, he hit 12 homers. The year before, 148 games, hit 13 homers. Like, if he was going to exhibit the power, you would like to see a bigger glimpse of it. Could this be a breakout season? Sure, but that's throwing darts at a dartboard to assume that. And, you know, he has plenty of strikeouts to go along with it, which is not a great combo. He 141 strikeouts 2 years ago on the 13 homers and 115 last year on the 12 homers in only 120 games. So it's not a great average. He's off to a good start this year. So far, he's 8-for-16, and, you know, he gets the homer. So we'll continue to track him. You know, we are expecting this team to get blown up, so we will have to see exactly how that plays out over the course of the year, but at least we can expect him to get some, continue to get some at bats as he's been able to get the last couple of seasons.
Absolutely. If you're not starting for the White Sox, what's going on?
Right.
I mean, when they don't have anybody else, they have to start you. You know, if you're not starting there, then you're really not doing all that well here. The White Sox, I mean, when I think about excitement for the White Sox besides trading, I wonder when's Mancada coming up. Yeah, that's what I want to see here. And I think as soon as they, maybe they get into the May part of the season, the weather warms up a little bit, I think you'll see him and he'll be exciting. But other than that, like I said, there's just not a lot to see here.
Yeah, so that's it for Twins White Sox. We're going to talk about Cards Reds. We'll talk Toronto, Tampa. And God, Chris Archer, it was right there. I thought I was going to get a W out of him. It just doesn't happen. We'll talk a little bit about that game when we come back. Keep going around the horn in MLB. Mike and George back after this. Back on the Road Experts in the Morning. Taking you around yesterday's scores. Getting you some news from all the games that were played yesterday on Saturday, April 8th. So we'll go to the game that I'm frustrated about first, George, and that is the Rays actually pick up a win yesterday against Toronto. The problem I'm having is that Archer was hanging on to that 2-0 lead and lost it in the, I believe they scored in the two runs in the, no, they gave up. Yeah, that was it. They gave up a run in he gave up a run in the 7th and then a run in the 8th. So he's hanging on to a 2-1 lead. Doesn't get out of the 8th inning. But he pitched strong. Like, he pitched 7 2/3, 5 hits, gives up a couple of walks, but he had 8 strikeouts, 2 earned runs. Like, I'm really happy, obviously, with the performance. He just misses out on the W, so that's why I was disappointed.
Yeah, that's sort of why we always like to, well, I should say we sort of lean towards quality starts now. So you don't get screwed like this. You know, great start, you don't get rewarded because the bullpen blows it, or, you know, he loses it late. You know, tie, leaves on the tie game, whatever it might be. The team doesn't score runs for him offensively, or a combination of all of it. So I understand that. It is frustrating at times. I try not to dwell on it all that much. I don't want it to ruin my day. But
yeah, of course.
There are times I get angry. You know, when Detroit, when they K-Rod blew that the safety overnight, that was a loss of Fulmer, and I've got Fulmer in a whole bunch of leagues. Did not make me happy.
Yeah. So Archer, he lost the lead in this instance, but he's still strong. Eight strikeouts, got to be happy with that. Faced off against Aaron Sanchez, who goes seven strong himself. Only four hits and three walks, six strikeouts and an earned run. Another good start for Sanchez, George.
Not surprising. I mean, it is the Braves, the Rays offense as it is. So we're going to expect a strong start against them. Sanchez, Stroman. I mean, the Blue Jays have some good young pitching there to carry that team. If they can get that offense figured out, they haven't really taken off yet. And once again, we're not even a week into the season yet. So I'm not panicking about anybody who's not hitting that I expected to hit or not pitching that I expected to pitch. You know, it's your top players here. But Sanchez, I'm a believer. Happy to see where they did well.
Yeah, continuing where he left off last year. That was his first start, I believe, of the season. So Josh Donaldson did have the big hit to tie the game in the eighth yesterday. He goes 1-for-4 with that RBI. Jose Bautista really struggling badly. He has four at-bats, struck out all four times. Golden sombrero for him. He's hitting 105 on the season. Kendrys Morales, 1-for-5. Tulowitzki, 1-for-4 with an RBI. Martin, hitless with a run scored. Justin Smoke, 1-for-3. Not too much else there. On the Rays side of the deal, you have Steven Souza, who goes 2-for-4 with an RBI. And the only other person of note is Brad Miller. He goes 1-for-3 with an RBI and three walks. So gets on base a ton there yesterday. So not too much to look at, not too much to see here from the offensive side of the ball, George, but obviously Archer and Sanchez is the story here with two quality starts.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of the marquee pitching matchups on the slate yesterday, so we expected a good pitching matchup, and it was.
Erasmo Ramirez with the save as well.
Yay. Once again, that's more Cologne not being available for Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Oh, my mistake, that he got the win because they scored the run in extra innings. So my bad there, bottom of the 11th. So Ramirez was pitching in the 11th and got the win. So you're right, it was the premier pitching matchup. Sorry to cut you off. It was the premier pitching matchup yesterday, and it delivered. So I got to be happy with that if you own both guys. Neither of them got a loss, neither of them got a win. So moving on to Reds Cardinals. Cardinals bats came alive yesterday, George. Scored 10 runs. Bronson Arroyo gets the loss. He goes four innings with six earned runs, three walks, six hits, and gave up a couple of homers. The 40-year-old Bronson Arroyo.
So Arroyo didn't pitch well. No. Boy, wish we would have seen that coming.
I was looking at the transactions yesterday just because I wanted to see the last couple of days, because I wanted to see what had happened with Sanchez and anybody else. And I noticed that they had just purchased a contract of Arroyo on Friday. So there's a bunch of guys that ended up playing yesterday that were basically just picked up. I think you see a lot of funky stuff like this early in the season simply because they're moving guys around and, as you said, keeping players at bay, like you talked about in the Washington situation with Guthrie. They're just kind of keeping players trying to keep other players warm before they bring them in. And Arroyo might be another case here. But maybe the Reds feel like they're going to get a bunch of innings out of him this year. It's a team that you suspect is going to be one of the worst teams in MLB, if not the worst.
Absolutely. I don't know what Arroyo's doing for this team. Is he a placeholder for some younger players? Okay, I think you could say that. But, I mean, really, you don't have anybody else who's ready to pitch now. I'm not saying you're top prospects. I understand Reds, small market team. You want to hold these guys back as, avoid the Super 2 arbitration as long as possible. I get it. But you don't have anybody else. You know, Homer Bailey, granted, he's out until June. Des Gafani, he's out until June as well. So maybe that's hurting here. Your top prospects are not pitchers. They're more hitters. You did get Luis Castillo in the trade with the Miami Marlins. You wonder if he's going to be ready at some point. Amir Garrett, Vladimir Gutierrez. They do have some talent there, but it's not top-end talent. Like I said, bottom line is, going to be a really long season for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, they're paying a Royal $3.5 million, so it's not a lot of money, but at the same time, it's a team that has blown it all up, and they've got a ton of young guys. I don't know that they'd want to pay him even that much. I know it sounds like it is a drop in the bucket from an MLB standpoint, but at the same time, I assume they want to keep him around if they're giving him $3.5 million. I'm just saying in context, the Reds aren't the type of team to hand out $3.5 million for a month of work, depending on how bad he is.
Agreed. Maybe they think he can mentor the young players. I don't know. You know, and all this sort of jazz that can justify it. I said it just didn't make a lot of sense to me that he's taking up a rotation spot, not just a roster spot, but a rotation spot that might be better used elsewhere.
I can't believe he can lift his arm.
With all the with all the rehab and surgeries he's had, I might agree with you there. I said good for him for persevering, wanting to come back pitching again, and
totally
doing
agree.
It. He's
totally agree.
He's bounced around for a couple of years. He was traded just to get rid of his salary for a couple of teams. Teams would trade him in a salary and give you talent and get nothing back in return just to get rid of the contract. So yeah. I'm borderline shocked that he's actually pitching in a major league game again.
Yeah, I don't think he needs the money. But in any event, Michael Wacha throws for the Cardinals. You know, it's a perplexing guy, I think, for a lot of people, George. Wacha's still only 25 years of age. Brutal year last year. I think a lot of people suspect that maybe some people suspect that time has passed Michael Wacha by, but he's only 25 years of age. He's a very unpredictable guy as to what we're going to get out of him, but he throws a nice game yesterday, 6 innings, only 3 hits, and gives up just the 1 run with 6 strikeouts.
Well, what people are worried about Wacha is this, that pitching-wise, he's fine, but that he's one of those guys whose body is not meant to be a starter, that he can't go 200 innings. That's where he's going to have a breakdown. You know, we've said this over and over again. The human body's not meant to throw overhand. So when you do, that's why you get the shoulder injuries, the elbow injuries, and the snapping off the curveballs and all that. And Wacha is one of these guys whose bodies can't handle it. You know, so that's what the concern is here at Wacha. When he's healthy, he's fine. But how long will he be healthy for? 10 starts? 15? 20? 25? 8? You don't know.
True. So Eugenio Suarez... 2-for-4, 2 RBIs, and a run scored yesterday. Joey Votto, a hit and a run scored. That's really the extent of the offense there yesterday, but I'll update you on Tucker Barnhart as well, who caught for them. He goes 1-for-2 with a run scored. God, the Reds are just filled with players with no discernible profile, Major League Baseball profile at all, and it's going to get even worse, you would think. During the season, if they can manage to trade anybody else. On the Cardinals side of things.
You're laughing at the Reds.
It's just really funny as you go down the box scores early in the season. By the way, I have Peraza. He didn't start yesterday, but did come in yesterday and did pick up a hit in his one at-bat. So thank you, Peraza, for providing a hit while you were on my bench. Dexter Fowler, 1-for-4 with 2 runs scored. Aldemus Diaz, Aledmus Diaz. You got to help me with this one, George. I'm really good with names, but I mess this one up every time. Aledmus Diaz?
Diaz of the Cardinals.
There we go. 3-for-5, 3 runs scored, 4 RBIs. A big day for him yesterday, George. And he's somebody we talked about a little bit during the course of spring training. 26 years of age, but he delivers a big game yesterday. Granted, off of not the murderer's row of pitchers coming from Cincinnati, but he has a good game.
He did. He had frozen ropes, home runs. I don't think the ball got more than 15, 20 feet off the ground, but they both went out to left field. Good for him. Diaz is an underrated player. Once again, it's another second baseman who can rake. He can hit. Mike gets shortstop eligibility eventually as well, so good middle infield there.
Yeah, he played short yesterday, so that'll help you.
That's where he's going to play this year because they're going to split second between Jerko, great name, Jerko and Wong at second base. They'll platoon those guys. So Diaz didn't get enough love at draft time in my mind.
I think that's fair to say. We did not give him too much love, but maybe due to the depth of the position. He hit both homers off of Arroyo, as George said. As we're going down the list, Fowler again mentioned. Let's see. Yadier Molina, 1-for-3 with an RBI. Down the line, Randall Grichuk, 1-for-5. Jed Jerko, as you mentioned earlier, 2-for-3. Run scored, 2 RBIs. Nice game for Jed Jerko. Wong, nothing, and Waka actually got a hit with a run scored. So what are your thoughts on Jed Jerko other than him having a great name?
Jerko. He's got his platoon with Wong, right? Yeah. And he's going to be on the wrong side of that platoon. So he's really going to need an injury to truly pay off like he did last year. Let's face it, he came out of nowhere. He's one of those guys who might have won people fantasy leagues last year. You know, when I think of fantasy MVP, I always think of guys like Jerko, who either were undrafted or drafted late, who all of a sudden have that year that, you know, may have propelled you to a fantasy championship. You
30
know,
homers.
30, I mean, 30 homers. Granted, only 59 RBIs.
Yeah, it's a lot of solo shots.
A lot of solo shots. And, you know, the average certainly didn't help you at 243. But still, 30 home runs. We're going to take that and run. But like I said, bottom line is this year, it's him and Wong and Jerko, you know, being the right-handed bat. He's going to be on the wrong side of that platoon. Not too many left-handers starting day in, day out. So he may only start once, twice a week.
I agree with what you're saying, too, about the fantasy MVP stuff. Because going into last season, if you had the wherewithal to project what Jed Jerko was going to do in your league, what would you have predicted from a home run total?
Very little.
Yeah.
Peralta was hurt for a bit last year, but Wong was up and went. But Wong fell apart. That's why we got the job, because Wong struggled here. So you probably single digits,
right?
You know, a couple here, a couple there. Now all of a sudden it's 30. It's fantastic.
12 at most. Like it was just a number that was inconceivable. So I know a lot. You know, all time record for players hitting 20 homers, but Jerko got up to the 30 home run mark in 400 at bats. So kudos to him. We'll see. Obviously track that platoon over the course of the year, but a good game for Jed Jerko yesterday. So we'll get back to some more games after the break. We'll talk about Pirates Braves. We'll talk Cubs Brewers after this. Back on the RotoExperts.com. You can hit us up this morning on Twitter at Fantasy Sports Radio. That's at FNTSY Radio. You hit me up at Mike Blewett, George at George Kurtz. And give us a call today if you like. Talk about your lineups. Commiserate about your injured players at 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. And more importantly, George, I know you got the closers report coming out every Tuesday, right? You have the what's hot, what's not every Friday.
Indeed, I do.
And you can see George's articles on rotoexperts.com. And I would encourage you to go to the rotoexperts.com exclusive edge in-season fantasy baseball package, which is available right now. It's your ultimate bench coach for the 2017 season, so stay ahead of the pack with our in-depth statistical breakdowns, trend analysis, and player insights. Become a waiver wizard and learn how to scan the numbers like a roto scientist. We help you set the ideal lineups every week, and this season, you get a built-in fantasy training staff with our new injury advisor powered by InsideInjuries.com. I've taken a look at that last night, actually. Get the RotoExperts.com exclusive edge in-season fantasy baseball package now and start soaring to the top of the standings. Enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for a special discount. So, George, how are your teams doing? Early returns? I know you're not a worrywart concerning these things, but any of your players that you counted on early that you're like, come on, just give me a hit. Give me a home run here.
Well, I honestly don't know how my teams are doing. I don't look at standings in the early going, so that I have no idea.
Some of those players that he counted on, you know?
I mean, Sanchez I do have in a deeper league for catcher, so that's annoying. I didn't have Trey Turner and all. I said Mookie Betts is probably one of my frustrating guys right now because of the illness. He's not playing. I get mad at rainouts. You know, you lose so many players. I have a lot of guys on Detroit, so those rainouts this week were annoying, to put it nicely. I know they're going to make it up eventually, but when you play those doubleheaders, you know, your guys aren't going to play two games. So you're going to lose a game there. That always frustrates me. Especially since I think my total points league, I have like four Detroit players. So that's really extremely annoying. That's points I'll never get back.
Yeah, nothing you can do there. It's funny. We talked about the volatility of the standings. I think I went from ninth to third yesterday because of some good pitching performances. My pitching's been really good, but my hitting has been pretty weak, led by Jose Bautista. But nothing to panic about yet. Just something I find funny that you can go up six spots in the standings because of a good couple of outings by Chris Archer and the like. In any event,
yeah, I don't worry about standings, Mike, until talk to me in May.
Yeah,
you know, that's when things start to become a little bit more solidified. That's not to say I don't look at my team. I'll say that again. I always look at my team. to see what moves I need to be made. And I may look at standings of, and I listen, I know what categories I'm probably having problems in. So I may look at that, and I'm always looking to upgrade my team. You know, I said, but with my main players, you're talking guys I drafted probably in the single-digit rounds. I'm not going to be doing much with them. You know, they're in the lineup as long as they're playing. You know, but the guys after that, sure, I may churn the bottom of my roster. I say it all the time. There's probably guys on my team that were dartboard throws. You know, within a week or two, hey, those dartboard throws aren't paying off. Or maybe I got to go out and grab that hot guy, and one of those dartboard throw guys has to go. You know, that I'm always looking for. Always looking to churn the bottom of my roster. Always looking for that hot player that nobody drafted. Because generally, no matter what size league you're in, there are always guys that we forget about that snuck through that are playing well.
Agreed. You know, for me, I'm looking, you know, do I keep Matt Moore around?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I need to for innings. You like Matt Moore this season?
I mean, I'm not in love with him, but yes, I like Matt Moore. I think you give him a chance in that ballpark. You know, he's going to have a lot of good solid outings there. He's not someone that I'm going to say is going to win you a league, but I don't think he'll lose it for you either. We all need – people want – you know, they want 23 great players.
Yeah.
You're not going to get 23 great players. You're going to need some guys who aren't bad, who play. I call them placeholders, who don't hurt you, don't help you. We all need guys like that. You're not going to have 23 superstars. Matt Moore, I think, in my mind, is at least a placeholder with some upside.
He was one of the last guys I picked, and I was like, you know what? There's no real quality starting pitchers left. Matt Moore is a guy that I've had on teams in years past. Obviously, he's gone through Tommy John surgery, and he finds himself in that ballpark. I can't be upset with where I got him at all, and he's a guy that's going to pick me up some innings. I think I have a 1,000-inning benchmark in this league, so I needed another starting pitcher. I couldn't throw another reliever on that staff because Harvey is one of the starters. I just don't know what kind of innings I'm going to get out of him, right? So I needed somebody in there, and I'm happy to have Matt Moore for now. You know, I got other guys, Brandon Drury, Aaron Judge, Greg Bird. You got to keep an eye on them. I'm happy to have them for now, but, you know, we're talking about churning the end of your roster. Those are some of the guys I'll be looking at.
Absolutely. Like I said, Aaron Judge, Greg Bird, both guys off to a tough start. Neither one played yesterday. Should be back in the lineup today.
Yep. Moving on to some more games from yesterday. Pirates, Braves, 6-4 win for the Pirates. Braves dropped to 1-4 on the season. The pitching matchup was, Chad Kuhl, five innings, gives up 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts. 6 walks, 5 strikeouts. So obviously had some control issues yesterday through the 5 innings. 5 hits and 6 walks, not what you're looking to get in a 5-inning outing. And R.A. Dickey goes 5 2/3, gives up 3 runs, 4 strikeouts, 4 walks, 9 hits. So both pitchers had a lot of runners on base, but Dickey gets the loss. Kuhl gets the win despite having those control issues.
Yeah, Carl, listen, that's way too many walks there. That's going to strangle your whip there. We can't have that. That's got to get better. Now, I tend to give pitchers a little bit of a break. And then once again in April, also because, hey, it's cold out. We've seen a lot of – it's been very windy throughout baseball. And so, you know, maybe they can't get a good grip on the ball. They're not comfortable, whatever it might be. The off-speed stuff's not working. Everything's a fastball, and they're trying to be too perfect. Or even they can't get the fastball over the plate. So I tend to give them, like I said, a little bit of a break here, you know, grading on a curve. That being said, those walks still count. You know, Chad Kuhl, he's somebody – I don't know if I would have started him yesterday. I only have him in one league, and I didn't start him. It's a deeper league. I didn't need to start him. My pitching staff is pretty solid there. But he's someone to keep an eye on because, once again, I think he can be a placeholder for you. I mean, you mentioned Matt Moore. If I had to choose between the two, I'd much rather have Matt Moore than Kuhl. But I love the ballpark, pitching-wise. You know, PNC, there's a lot of starts in PNC, and that ball does not travel in PNC at all. So if he gets that ball over the plate, he could be a boon come the second half of the – I guess I should say once he decides to get command within his own.
Yeah, so 24 years of age. Last year, he only started in 14 games, 70 innings. He's 5-4 with a 4.2 ERA. The WHIP was 1.3, so it was far more under control than yesterday allowed you to believe. But again, one start, we can't freak out over that. He does get the win, so good for you. He killed your WHIP a little bit, but he adds a win kind of out of nowhere in a shaky performance. Nicasio with a hold, Rivera with a hold, Hudson with a hold, Tony Watson his second save of the season, George.
Yeah, well, it's good for him to back-to-back saves. I still don't think he holds the job long-term. I still think that job will eventually be Hudson's, but the problem is that eventually could be July, could be June. We don't know when that's going to be. But I think Watson will eventually lose that job. He's you mentioned with Justin Wilson earlier. That's why I was so surprised that the Pittsburgh put Watson as the closer, because you know you lose that top lefty setup man. Generally, we need that. You know, you need that base. There's not too many lefties out there that can get lefties out. Right? That's one of the toughest things to do, the loogie. So that's why I was surprised here, and I thought that the bullpen would work better with Hudson back in the save role. But, hey, to Pittsburgh's credit, they went with a better reliever, and I'll give them that. I think Watson is the better reliever.
Yeah, scoreless inning there yesterday. Star of the show hitting the ball was Gregory Polanco. So he picks up 4 hits yesterday in 4 at-bats, 2 runs scored and an RBI. So nice day for him. Josh Harrison, a hit and an RBI. Mercer hit an RBI as well. On the Braves side of things, Tony Phillips, how about that? 2 for 4 with 2 runs scored. And then Peterson. Jace Peterson is 2 for 4. So that wraps up that game. We'll talk about the rest of the games in the next hour. Maybe turn the page over to the NFL a little bit. It's 1 hour down. We got 2 hours to go on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Join us next after the break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.